Welcome and thank you for checking out today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. Thank you for checking us out on YouTube as well for our YouTube viewers. We are getting better about rolling out our YouTube footage a little bit more regularly now. Want to reintroduce today's show guest who's been on with us a few times on audio only, but the first time on YouTube, our guy Pat Barnes. Now, for those out there on YouTube or first-time listeners, may not know who Pat Barnes is, and that is the point. He's the man of mystery. He's Auburn's Batman. He's been operating in the shadows of social media and message boards, hunting out all hot takes, all bad narratives. If you've been an arbiter of those, you may have, very likely have, been encountered Pat Barnes. So, we got a subject we're going to talk about today. Auburn had a few decommits recently, within the last week, two big ones. Rumored there may be some more coming down the pipeline. And it hadn't been so great for Auburn in the last few weeks either on the football field either. So fans have been a little nervous. Recruiting had been the backbone of hope. And then when you start seeing decommits rolling on, starts getting folks a little nervous. Is the foundation crumbling? Is it time to panic? Well, that's just what Pat Barnes came on here to talk about. It's a narrative out there. He hunts the narrative. Pat, welcome to the show, and I please, you got to use the descriptor we said before we started recording, because I didn't even want to self-describe you as well as you did before we jumped on here.
Well, thanks for having me back on, Memes. I think what we discussed is I have, for about maybe 15 years now, long been considered one of the preeminent hall monitors on the Auburn message boards, and I'm taking my talents to the podcast waves now, so I'm happy to be here with you.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could have a better bio than Auburn's Hall Monitor. And we might just have to move that into the intro pitch for now on, because that was beautiful. It flowed perfectly. But let's jump right on into it. So Auburn had two decommits this past week. You are very much more tuned into the happenings of the recruiting world. So I'm going to just toss it over to you. Break down to the listeners what happened with each guy, a little bit about them, and kind of what this means for Auburn moving forward.
So this week we had two decommitments, like you said. One of them was Jalewis Solomon, who is a defensive back / receiver. He's an athlete out of Ellaville, Georgia, I think we'd said earlier. And then the other one was Jaden Lewis, who is a defensive back out of Anniston, Alabama. Now, Jalewis is a top 250 consensus player, and he's definitely somebody Auburn wanted to keep. But if anybody that's been keeping up with this recruitment has noticed, it's been a completely back and forth affair between us and South Carolina, with some Florida State mixed in there at times too. But even on the day of his commitment to Auburn, South Carolina and Auburn were kind of going back and forth as of that morning, kind of upping the intensity of their recruiting pitch, so to speak. And it just so happened that Auburn got the last word in there and was able to convince them to commit in, I think it was late July, early August. Since that time, South Carolina has upped their game as far as recruiting them, and it sounds like Auburn has not turned on the same level of heat that South Carolina has decided to turn on. And Jalewis has made the decision to flip back to South Carolina with kind of that in mind. So that's where we stand with him right now.
Now, I just want to remind everybody to connect the dots here. So this commitment to Auburn had an epic, epic meltdown video of a certain South Carolina fan that went very, very viral for this guy just went in his kitchen. And rather than just like swallow his lumps and just, you know, maybe handle this emotional meltdown privately, He decided, now we're going to hit record, and I'm going to just speak everything on my mind in this moment. And had, honestly, probably one of the better fan meltdown videos of the year thus far. I don't know if they give out an ESPY for that, but if they did, this would definitely be up there. And I just really want to think, like, how he's doing after this recommitment. I mean, this has definitely been an emotional roller coaster for that guy, if nobody else.
It's fair to say he hates Auburn and Hugh Freeze. I mean, I couldn't believe somebody had that much vitriol for both of us that we play so little. But he had it in his heart, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I think we need to have a reaction video out of him. Just the kind of, you know, the it has come full circle. He's back, and honestly, I think that guy should just, anytime he's feeling any sort of way, just hit record, because he's too good to, I don't want that to just be a one and done kind of guy. But
if he's still alive, man, I'm not sure you could survive with that level of rage and being the guy who he was. He may not be around anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that is generally one of the guys where, like, your doctor, your therapist has to look you in the eye and be like, maybe college football isn't good for your health physically or mentally. And, like, maybe dial it back a little bit. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been pissed off. I've been way too emotional. And the worst I'll ever get is, like, a tweet or two. I mean, I've never made a full-on video of just all in my feels. And, I mean, Jaleel Solomon did it to this poor fella. And like I said, I hope he's doing great right now. But kind of rewinding it back to the Auburn side of things, this is the mood that he had felt, I would say, through the entirety of the season has been a little bit more closer to how Auburn fans have probably been feeling lately. And the mood is low. Recruiting was supposed to be the foundation and the backbone of hope going into a season that has been, for lack of better words, below expectations for some, disastrous for others, depending upon what your opinion was going into it. And decommits don't necessarily make you feel any better about that. So that was Solomon. But just to add insult to injury, we had another one in the last week.
So our other guy, like I said earlier, his name is Jaden Lewis. He is a defensive back out of Anniston, Alabama, and he is a low four-star, I want to say a top 300 to 350 type of player. He was one of our very first commits back in, I want to say, the winter or maybe even the early spring of this past year. And it appears to me, from what I've read on the message boards from people who usually know what they're talking about, that this is a mutual parting of ways, so to speak. I think Auburn has got some guys that they're more interested in, and I think they feel like they're in a good spot for them. And Jaden has either underperformed or they've just got guys higher on the board they think they can get now. And it sounds like it was a type of deal where we let them know a while ago, hey, we don't think we're going to have room for you in this class, but we'll let you kind of make your exit on your own terms. And the reason a school like Auburn would want to do something like that is because you don't want to burn any bridges for a coach or a player in the same area. They want to know that, hey, even if you don't end up wanting to take me in the class, you're going to let me kind of have some pride and have some dignity and kind of handle this the way I want to handle it. So that's why you don't just come out and see a story saying, hey, Auburn has dropped this guy's commitment. They don't want him anymore. Because it would just be dumb to do that. But make no mistake, I think that is probably the case here.
Now, I'm checking on three right now. They still have Auburn ranked 15th.
Yep,
15th. In the nation, ninth in the SEC, which, one, good Lord, the SEC, that's crazy. So
what's that average star rating looking like?
So we're getting there. We're getting there. So the overall score is good. And the in-state's good. They got 56% in Alabama. This is tough. I hate to lose this, but we're at 69% blue chip ratio.
It's got to be over that 50% historically.
Well, hey, if we're going to be anywhere, I like to be right there. Average star rating, I don't actually see where that's popping up here for me. I know you know it, so that was rhetorical. So you want to just go ahead and drop it?
I actually don't, but
I
know.
Oof. We can only edit on the. We can only edit that out on the fly. It's good. How's that? Is that safe for everybody listening?
So I go by the 24/7 composite more than anything, because it kind of averages everybody's scores. Looks like we have 16 commits right now, just for everybody's information. 13 of those are still 4-star players and 3 3-stars, and the 3-stars are actually just on the fringe of being 4-star players. So we're still sitting in a pretty good spot.
All right. To bring a little bit more doom and gloom, potentially.
Why we got to do that, man?
It's an exercise.
Okay.
Now, well, there's some rumors. We're going to say names. We're swimming in the rumors mill, but there could potentially be some other decommits in this class. And obviously that's, you know, especially if things go sour this weekend, that's really going to make folks, and there's a natural narrative here of, oh, guys decommitting, things are going bad on the field. The sky is falling. And I know you're going to attack that and say not true, but to the average fan, seeing things in a certain order, whether they're related or just coincidental. You get, you know, emotions kind of get the best of you in these moments. Is there anything in this recruiting class coming up? Not I mean, it was just say names. Is there any, I guess you could say, we're gonna stick with the R word here, rumors coming along as some maybe big hits that can get that hope churning back despite losing some guys out of this class?
Yes, there are a lot of rumors that we are heavily in it with some high profile players that for the most part are committed to other programs. And I know a lot of times flips are hard to do, but if the rumors are to be believed, you're looking at potentially 4 to 5 guys that are committed somewhere else that are all highly ranked players that are at least close to pulling the trigger on flipping to us. And that may not be this week or next week. It may just be a type of deal where it doesn't happen until early signing day, but make no mistake, we're sitting pretty much in a good spot for a lot of good players still right now.
No, 2 home games in a row.
Right.
I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of big visits for that, especially a night game with Ole Miss.
Sounds like a bunch of these guys are coming in on visits. So look for players that are committed elsewhere that are pretty highly ranked. If they're on visits to us, that's probably one of those players that we're talking about.
Okay. To the question of the episode, do you think this is a sign to panic, or are we all right?
As far as recruiting goes, I don't think there's any reason to panic at all right now. I think a lot of these guys came to Auburn with the kind of pitch that, hey, we want you to be part of this class that helps turn Auburn back to what they should be. And I know everybody's real down right now. I'm not happy with the way the offense has performed so far. But big picture, we're sitting right where, as far as record-wise go, we're sitting right where most Auburn, realistic Auburn fans expected us to be right now.
And even Vegas at Auburn is 6-6.
Right. And, you know, even I fell victim to booging a little too hard and had us going 8 wins, potentially 9 wins. But I think when you just look at all the transfers that we had to get from Sun Belt schools and Group of 5 schools, it just wasn't a realistic outlook. And I fell victim to that as well. But we're in a full-blown rebuilding process, and that's just going to have to be part of the grind this year and probably next year too before we start really reaping the benefits on the field in 2025.
Well, great segue there. 2025, amidst the bad timing, there was some good news – or bad news. There was some good news, and Auburn landed a literal and figuratively big commitment on the defensive line.
He's chunky boy, isn't he?
Yeah, I do believe for being a junior in high school, they would describe him as a big fella.
Yeah.
So is it Jordan or Jordine? I don't know.
Jordan, I believe.
Okay. Crawford.
Jordan Crawford.
Oh, really? Is it?
I don't think so.
Oh man, yeah, it is say, now. Okay, I was gonna say that's fake. Yeah, he may have to put a little accent on that just to. I mean, could you if you're named Jordan, there's not really another choice.
It's
like being named Barnes. You kind of like there's you got one place to go. Now, ironically though, I mean, you got a guy kicking for Texas named Burt Auburn.
Yeah, that trips me out every time I watch him play.
I don't know how. I don't care if this kid couldn't kick a 20-yard field goal. You're a preferred walk-on. Get down here.
Yeah.
Especially with NIL, just for the jersey sales.
I got so excited at bedtimes I watched them play Alabama, and there was a kicker named Auburn rolling out there.
Oh, yeah, that had to have been. I'm not going to lie, with the picture at the back of his jersey after they lost to Texas, the "you just lost to Auburn" meme, that yeah. one did absolute numbers. I knew it would. I'd be lying if I didn't actually made that meme last year and had it just sitting in the camera roll for the rematch. And I was like, I got to use, like, this has got to hit. And I knew when I said it, I was like, this, and yeah, it did numbers. So, and then I guess you have an infamous quarterback out there also named Auburn. Did he end up going to Ohio State?
I don't know about him, man. This is news to me.
What was, remember the kid, it went by Brock. What was his, like, first name? Actually Auburn.
I don't remember this guy.
The kid that Harsin.
Brock Auburn?
No, the guy that, the quarterback that Harsin whiffed on.
Oh, you're talking about his middle name is Auburn or something like that. Vandergriff.
No, it wasn't him.
Oh, geez. I don't know who you're talking about.
I got it pulled up here. He ended up going to Ohio State, and he And that was the, hold on.
Yes. The Florida State guy. What was his name? I know who you're talking about.
I thought he ended up going to Ohio State. Was it Florida State?
Yeah. Well, he's committed to Florida State for a while, and then I think he went to Ohio State.
All right. I'm going to look this up. Can you ad lib for me while I get it pulled up here?
Yeah. So as far as 2025 goes, going back to Jordan Crawford, 2025 is shaping up to be the best high school class as far as just top-end talent goes in the history of the state of Alabama. You're already looking at 17 four-star higher players, and that's just a group of juniors. They're not even seniors yet. So generally speaking, you probably got 10 to 15 other players that are going to get ranked up in that four-star range once they see them complete their junior year. And a ton of those guys are big-time defensive linemen. So Auburn and Alabama are going to kind of have their pick of the litter if they keep doing what they're supposed to do on the recruiting trail for really talented defensive linemen next year. So it's good to get this guy in the boat early.
That was a great ad lib, and that was good information. And I still,
for the life of me, I just thought about him. Brock Glenn was his name.
That was Brock Glenn.
Brock Auburn Glenn, yeah.
Yeah, why can I find him? Was he 23 or 22?
23.
Okay, yes. Kid with literally Auburn in his name, whiffed out on him.
I forgot.
But anyway, yeah.
We talked about this last week, but I've kind of blacked out on a bunch of the 2022 Auburn seasons. So.
The whole Harsin deal gave you kind of PTSD. I don't blame you. A lot of people down like that. So you kind of mentioned it earlier with a disastrous season of how that could you feel good about the recruiting staying where it's at and holding strong, which
I feel good as long as we don't finish under 6-6. If we finish under 6-6, I could see there being some issues. Even then, I think if our coaching staff does what they're supposed to do on the recruiting trail, I think we can still pull home a really good class. But if we can just get to a bowl game, I don't think we're going to have any issues landing who we need to recruiting.
No, there's a narrative out there. And this is one that's shrouded in recruiting. And what do? You hunt bad narratives. Now, I want to get your opinion on this. You probably have heard it. And it is wild just how I feel like this year more than ever, just how quickly some of these narratives will make it up to the content streams and will actually get talked about outside of just, you know, the water cooler. But there's been a lot of talk about how rumors, maybe a chatter, is Hugh Freeze pandering this offense and not making the necessary changes he needs to appeal to recruits. Do you buy into that at all?
I think there may be a little bit of truth to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't think that's 100% the reason. I think this is a multifaceted issue. One, I think he may be showing this is the offense we want to run. It became apparent to me on Saturday, and this is something we've talked about the last couple shows. I just don't think Peyton Thorne's going to turn it around this year with the way the offense is set up. And as much as I've been banging on Robbie for my belief that he's not an SEC quarterback, just about every play he got in on Saturday, he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
My opinion, it may be time to give him a shot if we want to win games this year. Now, the coaching staff may have a different objective than we do. They may be building towards a future and building the next year and the year after that. And I do think they want to run an offense more similar to what Freeze ran at Ole Miss and even Liberty, where it was a bunch of downfield passes, you know, those option routes, those back shoulder fades, stuff like that. And I think that may be why they're trying to just kind of ram that in every single game. Now, that's not helping our chances this year at all, obviously. But if they can – kind of bring a proof of concept to these receivers, say, hey, this is what we want to do. We need you to be able to do this. And that kind of makes sense to me.
And it sells early playing time for sure. I mean, right now, there's not a talented upcoming freshman, high school, senior, or shoot, and transfer. We'll go ahead and lump it all in there when it gets to be that time that you can't look at it almost every position and just say, hey, you got opportunity out there. Now, let me ask you this one, too, because I don't think this is getting talked about enough either, and this will be kind of the last topic before we get this thing closed out.
Let me finish on that topic we were just talking about real quick. Then. I don't think that's the whole reason. If that's happening, I don't think that's the whole reason they're doing it. I think they may also believe that it's more beneficial in the coming seasons if we don't go to more of a read option dependent attack like we did last year with Robbie. They may just feel like it helps the offense grow as a whole in preparation for next year to keep running what they want to run. So that may be a factor that's happening too. So we'll see this weekend if that's really going on. I don't see how you – if they send Thorne back out there on Saturday and run the same offense, that's 100% what's going on, I think.
And it just doesn't look any better. And my big thing is when Robbie had the hot hand, they yanked him.
Yeah, that didn't make much sense to me either. And that's coming from a guy who has been saying for months that I don't think Robbie's got the stuff to be an SEC quarterback.
Right, but at the end of the day,
yeah, he was apparent. He was the better guy on Saturday night.
But at the end of the day, yeah, there's positive yardage situations, and you're not letting him. Like I said, you're not feeding the hot hand. He was rolling. You take him out when at times are just it didn't make any sense. But like I said, we're not talking about that this entirety of this episode. But to get on to the next subject of panic button or nah, the guys on the team right now. And I know we're not there at this point, but do you think there's a situation? Because this is maybe a little bit of ahead of time thought, but for sake of conversation, because you saw kind of the stuff from the decommits, is there a worry that if things kind of continue at where they're going, and you kind of heard the phrase Hugh Freeze losing the locker room, and there's no way for us to really know that, and that is kind of speculatory. But do you think there's a scenario?
Who's saying that's happening?
That is
Twitter warriors. Are they saying that?
That's going to be more of the, yeah, I mean, that's very much a, we'll say a fan narrative there. I'm not going to say there's been any real reports or any players that have come out and say everything. And that is a point of frustration that I think people will say in moments like this.
Well, Twitter warriors, I can say a lot of things. So.
As far as the, I'm using that example here to kind of segue into this. If things happen and there is, I'm not going to say lose the locker room because that's such a broad phrase, but let's say there's some frustration. And then guys on the team hit the portal when it gets to be that season. Do you think that could start to be a problem? And do you think there's anything that they can do to mitigate the risk of that happening? Because, yes, I mean, there's definitely some deficiencies on this team. But there's also some highlights. And you want to keep those guys around for next year because you still need some foundation to build upon.
I will be utterly shocked if we lose anybody to the portal that Freeze really wants to keep around for next year. Okay. Let me put it that way. Here's the question you got to ask. Who on offense would you feel like, oh, we're in trouble if we lose this person? I can't think of anybody I would say we are in trouble if we lose them. Now, I would prefer to keep the running back room. I would prefer to keep Fairweather. I would prefer to keep a young guy like Michael Riley who's shown some promise, and I would prefer to keep Jay Fair and Camden Brown and Amari Kelly, the young guys, but there's not a single guy on the offense right now besides maybe Dylan Wade, who I would just be up in arms over losing.
Well, you still could have maybe argue a Connor Liu, another younger guy who's got some potential down the road.
I mean, it's he's an offensive lineman are built different, man. Like they know they're coming into redshirt that first year. I'm sure he understands that.
So I guess my thought on that there, and obviously this is kind of way ahead of the deal speculatory, but do you think there are some scenarios that could come up that if things just kind of keep stagnating on offense to where you kind of sit there and you scratch your head and you worry like, yikes, this could be a tougher sell to keep guys around on this team, or you feel confident that at this point you feel confident that's something we got to worry about?
I think that's getting the cart way ahead of the horse at this point. Like I said, big picture, we've beaten who we're supposed to beat, and we've lost who we're supposed to lost to. Now, the offense hadn't looked nearly as good as we all hoped, but good news is the schedule's about to get a lot easier.
And it is getting
– yeah, go ahead.
I was just agreeing with you. It is getting a lot easier. But I'm assuming – and Ole Miss is a big crossroads game. So you kind of said there's a disastrous result of – if you win this weekend, I think you can really right the ship. I think that goes without saying. If you lay an egg against Mississippi State or Vanderbilt or both,
you can't lose either one of those games. You cannot lose either one of those games.
So that would be your time of, okay, it's time to panic.
That if we lose to one of those two teams, I will be concerned But even then, I don't think I'm concerned for what that means for the coaching staff as a coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I don't think we really got to worry about the recruiting aspect of it. I mean, you look at a team like Florida last year, they were completely incompetent most of the year with the number four draft pick at quarterback, and they still killed it on the recruiting trail. Right. And they still killed it going into this season. Now they're starting to lose steam now that proof of concept that a lot of people on the internet like to talk about, it's not translating 2 years in. But good recruiters recruit well through thick and thin. And that's one thing Hugh Freeze has definitely proven throughout his career that he's a really good recruiter.
Now, do you think there's any threat here of any of this stuff going sour of negative recruiting coming in? This is actually a question I was going to ask. I thought about it and almost forgot, but that's the real last question. Is there any fear of negative recruiting coming in of saying, all right, well, the foundation's slipping, the romance of Hugh Freeze is over, the real picture's out? Because, I mean, you know, these other coaches, they're going to be ruthless. They're not going to hold anything back when they're trying to get their guys or get guys away from Auburn. Is that a fear they need to potentially be worrying about, especially with just how just the record bad performance on offense?
The only way I could see that being a real factor is if Auburn fans en masse get online and start talking a bunch of crap about our head coach. The offense didn't look as good as it should. But one thing that's not going to help there is a bunch of its own fans constantly on the internet talking crap about the guy and what they're trying to do recruiting. So if a bunch of that stuff starts happening, then yeah, it could have an effect. But I think, you know, the administration's behind Hugh Freeze. He's got an AD behind him that hired him. He's got a ton of NIL money, or maybe not he, but Auburn has a ton of NIL money that they can use to kind of sway some of these guys. So I don't think that's really something we got to worry about unless a bunch of its own fans help to expedite this issue.
Well, that's good stuff. So we're going to wrap it up right here. We're going to answer the simple question. Is this the time to panic or no?
Absolutely not. Like I said last week, I'm not making any sweeping judgments on what I think this coaching staff's going to be until 2025. That third year is where you really start to see, is this going to work or is it not going to work? So I'm not making any judgment calls till that point, and I'm not panicking right now.
And to recap, though, you said you lose to Vandy and or Mississippi State, and especially both. Then maybe we readdress this question. We have the part two of this episode here in a few weeks.
Yeah, if we lose to one of those two teams, I may reevaluate it. I probably will still say my answer is going to be, how's recruiting looking?
Yeah, hold the course.
That to me is way more important this year than what's happening on the field.
Got it. And I will kind of agree with you there. The frustrating things on the offensive side of the ball definitely make you want to pull your hair out. There's definitely some coaching things that are very questionable, and we don't have to get into all that right now. But you take care of business, you improve against Ole Miss. The schedule's getting a lot more favorable. We knew this part of the season was going to be tough. We knew that it was very likely that we were going to be 3-3 at this position. And that's where Auburn is. So it was all wait, time out.
Everybody just needs to chill out for a second.
Because Ole Miss is going to be game 7, right?
Yes. And guess what? We're probably going to lose this game too. And I'm sure that's going to make a lot more people even angrier than they are right now. But we got a chance to win it. And at the very least, let's hope we see some improvement on the offensive side of the ball and set us up to win these next three SEC games after that.
Right. And then, yeah, you got some get right games. Like I said, make it to a bowl, have a nice appearance for a bowl. Keep that recruiting momentum going. We said it before, we're going to remind everybody, look what happened with Norvell. Look what happened with Venable. Rough first years. Patience and trust in the process. Things can turn around. Looking really good. I mean, obviously, Florida State lost to, was it Jacksonville State?
They came close to losing. Maybe they did lose to him. I remember they almost lost to Samford, too. So, but I remember watching that game at the bar, and everybody was cheering for Samford.
You got to cheer against Florida State. But let me see here. I'm going to pull up the score. Florida State, Jacksonville. Give me just 1 second here. The final score of that game was 20-17. Jacksonville State did win.
Yeah, see, we talked about it last week, too. I think Norvell at Florida State is an incredible comparison to what Freeze has got to do at Auburn. The coaching situations are very similar as far as Jimbo and Taggart to Gus and Parson. There's a lot going in there that's very similar. So I think the Norvell path where, you know, they turned it around year three, that's what we're hoping for here too.
Yeah, and then there too, that comparable, getting back to that one. And just to remind everybody, you feel like you're having the lows and it's no one has ever gone through it. Auburn did not lose to Jacksonville State. Now, granted, Gus tried one time.
But we got people online saying we never should have fired the guy that almost lost to Jacksonville State. So
I was at that game. You can hear it in my voice right now, just getting back to that day, just sitting there scratching head, like, what in the – could you imagine? So the lows, there have been people that have had worse lows. And the lows that Auburn's experiencing right now can potentially be turned around. We'll see exactly how it looks with Ole Miss getting back at home. Auburn has performed much better at home. Unfortunately, the games they have played at home, SEC-wise, were Georgia. So maybe get a little get-right game with a talent gap that is not so large and to see what they can do with the fans on their side at night and then see if the quarterback situation starts to make a little bit more sense. So that's going to conclude it. You heard it from Pat. He's out there fighting the narrative on the he's out there on the webs fighting the narrative. This is not the time to panic. He's saying hold the course. It's going to have to get a little ugly before it starts getting real pretty.
Be patient, please.
Be patient. That's right. Well, guys, thank y'all so much for checking out the Auburn Daily Show, the podcast, and on YouTube. Make sure if you don't subscribe to YouTube, also make sure you follow, subscribe. I don't even know what the button's called anymore on the various podcast platforms. Like the video, comment, leave us a review. If you got any questions or have some thoughts on stuff we discussed, shoot me a DM. Try to find Pat. Just ask random people, hey, are you Pat Barnes? See how they take it. So that is going to do it all for the show. Thank you guys so much for listening and tune in next time. We'll be dropping another episode tomorrow.